Imagine software that doesn't just, follow commands. Imagine it seems to genuinely think for itself, acting independently, achieving complex goals, learning as it goes. We're talking about a huge leap in AI here.
Yeah, it's really something.
Way beyond the chatbots, maybe you're used to. This is something much more autonomous, more impactful, and it's already reshaping things.
Exactly. And it's not science fiction anymore, is it? Welcome, everyone, to a deep dive into this, well, fascinating and maybe sometimes startling world of AI agents. These intelligent things, these entities, they're rapidly changing how businesses operate today, moving past simple automation into, well, whole new areas of capability.
So our mission today in this deep dive is really to unpack what AI agents truly are. Why have they suddenly become so essential? What kind of incredible things can they actually do for us? And crucially, how are they reshaping the future of human work?
And the risks too, right? We need to talk about that.
Absolutely. We'll explore the critical risks, the path to responsible integration, basically arming you with the knowledge to be well-informed and, frankly, ready for this new reality.
Sounds good. Where should we start?
Okay, let's start right at the basics. We hear so much about large language models, LLMs.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
So if the LLM is the brain, what's the next layer? What turns that brain power into like actual real-world action? How do these AI agents build on what LLMs do?
That's a perfect way to put it. Think of the LLM as the kernel of an operating system. It's the core brain, right? It understands language, generates text, it can reason. But on its own, it's mostly just processing information.
Right, like a super smart calculator or something.
Or kind of, yeah. An AI agent, though, is like the program or the app that runs on top of that kernel. It extends the LLM's functionality. It decides which actions to perform, and this is the key part, it actually executes them in a digital environment. It's that ability to act and decide independently that really makes it an agent.
So it's not just spitting out text based on a prompt. It's making decisions and then doing something with those decisions. That feels like a huge difference.
It is. It's massive.
And I've heard LLMs, well, they can have some pretty significant limitations on their own, right? What are the biggest headaches LLMs cause that these agents are like really good at fixing?
Yeah, there are quite a few. One of the primary ones is memory, or the lack of it.
Right, stateless.
Exactly. Standalone LLMs are stateless. Each interaction is like a brand new conversation, like a one-off API call.
Forgets everything.
Totally. Agents, though, they can incorporate memory mechanisms. They remember prior interactions, they maintain context, continuity across long-term projects, even.
Okay, that immediately sounds way more useful for any kind of real-world task if it can actually remember what we talked about yesterday.
Exactly. So if you're working on a project with an agent for weeks, it remembers what's happened.
And it's not just memory, is it? My LLM feels like it's just waiting for me to hit enter every single time. It's very one-track mind.
That's the synchronous processing issue. LLMs process requests one at a time, like a single queue. But agents, they can manage multiple tasks simultaneously. They can operate asynchronously. Think of it like juggling several balls at once. That vastly improves efficiency, especially for real-time interactions or complex environments.
Makes sense. And what about making things up, hallucinations?
Oh, yeah, the hallucination problem. LLMs can sometimes confidently generate incorrect or, frankly, nonsensical information. They're limited by their training data. Agents can combat this. They can be designed to connect to the internet or specific databases for real-time fact-checking and information retrieval. They validate the output before it gets to you.
So no more making things up, hopefully. That's a relief. My personal AI assistant once tried to convince me it was a talking cat. Seriously.
Yeah, we want to avoid that.
What about things LLMs are famously just not good at, like precise math?
Yeah, they do struggle with that. They are primarily language models, after all. But agents can integrate specialized mathematical engines or, specific software to handle complex problem solving. They overcome that weakness. Plus, while LLMs might give you output in all sorts of varied formats, agents can implement post-processing steps to standardize it, like always formatting in JSON or XML.
Oh, that's practical.
Hugely practical, especially for business applications where you need consistent data.
And you mentioned persona earlier. How does that work?
Well, agents can really elevate the user experience. They can adapt their responses over time to align with your preferences, your conversational style. Essentially, they adopt a specific persona that feels more consistent and personalized.
Like having a digital assistant that actually kind of gets you.
Exactly. maybe even anticipates your needs after a while.
That level of personalization sounds almost futuristic, but you're saying it's already here, impacting real industries. So where are these superpowered AI agents actually making waves right now?
Absolutely, it's here. And when you look at the sheer breadth of what they can do, it's truly remarkable. We've looked at insights from like over 500 real-world applications.
Wow, 500.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is how these agents aren't just doing what humans do, only faster. They're enabling entirely new types of work, new ways of solving problems that maybe weren't even conceivable before.
Okay, give us some examples that really stand out. Where are they making the biggest impact?
Well, take healthcare, for instance. You can imagine an AI health assistant helping diagnose and monitor diseases using patient data, or a health insights agent analyzing complex medical reports in just moments.
Right, speeding things up.
Massively, freeing up medical professionals for actual patient care. Or think about finance. We're seeing automated trading bots executing stock trades based on real-time market analysis.
Scary, but powerful.
Powerful, definitely. Or financial analyst agents providing deep insights into specific companies. Apple, Tesla, Nvidia, you name it, synthesizing huge amounts of data in seconds.
That is a massive shift in how those industries operate. What about something maybe a bit more relatable day-to-day, like customer service?
Oh, for sure. Beyond the 2047 AI chatbots we sort of know.
Yeah.
You have product recommendation agents suggesting things based on your specific preferences. Or e-commerce personal shopper agents helping you find exactly what you're looking for, almost like a human concierge.
Okay.
And these are just, you know, a few examples. The landscape includes hundreds more across pretty much every sector you can think of. Legal document review, optimizing factory production lines, logistics.
It's clear they're kind of becoming embedded everywhere. And these sophisticated behaviors, they're not magic, right? They're powered by underlying frameworks you mentioned.
Exactly. Specific tools and architectures.
So what's particularly innovative about some of these, like Crew AI or AutoGen? What makes them tick?
Well, what's really unique about Crew AI isn't just what it does, but how it does it. It's specifically designed for multi-agent collaboration.
Multi-agent. So like a team of AIs.
Precisely. Imagine a digital project team where specialized AI agents work together. Each one handles a different part of a complex task.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one agent researches, another drafts the content, another edits it. They can automate entire workflows from planning a complex trip to, well, even writing a screenplay, with each agent playing a distinct role.
Okay, so it's not just one super agent doing everything, but a coordinated team. That sounds powerful. And AutoGen, what's its specialty?
AutoGen takes that collaboration idea and applies it really heavily to coding and technical problem solving. It excels in automated code generation, execution, debugging.
Wow.
Facilitating really advanced multi-agent interactions for complex software tasks. And what's truly kind of meta is that it can even teach other agents new skills.
Right, teach them.
Yeah, allowing them to adapt and evolve beyond their initial programming.
Wow. Okay, so they can actually learn new skills from each other. That almost sounds like digital evolution happening right there.
It's pushing boundaries for sure.
Which I guess highlights a really fundamental question.
Yeah.
How much human involvement do we actually want with these incredibly capable agents? I know there's a specific framework for thinking about this.
There is, yeah. A really interesting study introduced something called the Human Agency Scale, or HACE.
HACE, okay.
It's basically a 5-level framework. It helps us measure, or at least conceptualize, just how much human interaction an AI needs for any given task.
So what are the levels?
Well, at one end, you've got H1. That's where the AI agent handles the task entirely on its own.
Right.
Pure automation, no human needed, ideally.
Okay, total automation. And the other end?
That's H5. At this level, the AI agent literally cannot function without continuous human involvement. It's completely dependent.
In the middle.
Right in the middle, you have H3. That's where the AI agent and the human form an equal partnership. They actually outperform either one working alone.
The sweet spot for collaboration, maybe?
Often, yeah. And what's really fascinating here is that higher HAS levels aren't necessarily better. It's not like H5 is always the goal. Instead, different levels suit different AI roles. H1 to H2 tasks are great candidates for automation, freeing up humans. While H3 to H5 tasks really benefit from augmentation, where human skills and judgment remain critical.
That's a really crucial distinction. It's not just about replacing, it's about the type of interaction.
Exactly.
And to understand this better, I read about this comprehensive database called Workbank. It maps what workers want in terms of automation against what AI experts think is currently technically possible.
Yeah, Workbank. It's super insightful. It creates these four distinct zones in the collaboration landscape.
So what does this tell us? Let's break down those zones.
Okay, first you have the automation green light zone. This is kind of the sweet spot. Tasks where there's high worker desire for automation and high AI capability.
Makes sense. Prime candidates.
Exactly. Prime candidates for immediate deployment. Things like tax preparers scheduling appointments or quality control system managers checking data. Repetitive stuff. Often. Everyone's generally happy to offload that.
Okay. But what about areas where people want the help, but the tech isn't quite there yet?
That's the R&D opportunity zone. High worker desire, but currently low AI capability. These point towards promising directions for future AI research and development. There's a clear human need just waiting for the tech to catch up.
Interesting. So that's where the innovation should focus.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you've got the tricky one, the automation red light zone. High AI capability, but low worker desire.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Deployment here needs serious caution because you're likely to face significant worker resistance or concern. An example given was art directors presenting final layouts. Maybe technically feasible, but artists want control.
Right. The human touch issue again.
Precisely. And finally, there's the low priority zone. Both low worker desire and low AI capability. Probably not where you focus resources first.
So, looking at all this data on worker attitudes, what really stands out to you? It seems so nuanced.
Well, it is. On one hand, for nearly half, like 46.1% of tasks, workers have a positive attitude towards automation.
That's quite high.
It is. And the reasons they give are often about freeing up time for more high-value work or because the task is repetitive, tedious, stressful, you know. They clearly see benefits in offloading certain burdens.
There's a but coming, right?
There's a big but. This desire isn't just a statistic. It exposes a fundamental truth or maybe a gap. There's a significant mismatch between this worker desire and how current LLMs are actually being used.
How so?
Well, the occupations showing the highest desire for automation, think tax preparers, public safety telecommunicators, they're significantly underrepresented in current LLM usage logs. Like, the top 10 most desired occupations only accounted for about 1.26% of usage on Claude.ai in one study.
Wow. So people want help with those jobs, but the tools aren't being used there.
Or at least not nearly as much as you'd expect based on the desire.
Yeah.
It suggests maybe the biggest hurdle to AI adoption isn't just the technical capability, it's human trust, accessibility, maybe integration challenges.
That's a really powerful point. We're building these incredible tools, but if we don't bridge that gap in perception and actual use, their real-world impact might be limited.
Exactly. It's a critical gap.
And when workers do resist automation, what are their main fears? What comes up most often?
The fears are pretty clear from the data. Top of the list, about 45%, is a lack of trust in the AI's accuracy or capability. They just don't believe it can do the job right.
Okay, basic trust. Makes sense.
Then there's the fear of job replacement, obviously. That's about 23%. And closely related, around 16%, is the concern about losing crucial human qualities or creative control.
Like the art director example.
Exactly. The arts, designs, and media sector shows particularly low desire for automation overall. People worry about losing that essential human touch in creative work. Can an algorithm really replace an artist's vision? Most would say no.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So if we connect this back to that HAS scale, that human agency scale, it sounds like workers generally prefer more human involvement than experts think is technically needed right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what the data shows. For nearly half the tasks, 47.5%, there's this divergence. Workers want higher levels of human agency than experts currently deem feasible or necessary from a purely technical standpoint.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Occupations like editors predominantly desire H5, meaning essential continuous human involvement. They want to be in control. Whereas AI experts might look at roles like computer programmers or maybe travel agents and assess them as largely H1, meaning the AI could potentially handle it entirely.
So what does that gap mean for the future as these agents get rolled out more widely?
Well, it signals potential friction, doesn't it? As AI adoption progresses, if there's a mismatch between how much control workers want and how much the system gives them, you can have problems.
Yeah.
It really highlights where we need to focus on responsible deployment. It means we absolutely have to design these systems with human values, human preferences, human comfort levels right at the forefront. Mm-hmm. It can't just be about technical capability.
That's such a critical point because, like any powerful new technology, these AI agents bring inherent risks. It's not just about what they can do, but their very nature creates challenges.
Absolutely.
You mentioned their autonomous nature earlier. When you combine that with characteristics like, what were they? Opaqueness, open-endedness?
Yeah, opaqueness, open-endedness, non-reversibility.
Right. What does that combination actually mean for us, the users, in practical terms?
Well, opaqueness means it's incredibly hard, sometimes impossible, to see why an agent made a particular decision. The reasoning is hidden in the black box.
Okay. Lack of transparency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then open-endedness means they can do things you didn't expect. They might come up with completely unforeseen or off-script actions because their goals are sometimes broadly defined.
That sounds risky.
It can be. And non-reversibility is a big one.
Yeah.
Once an agent acts in the real world, whether that's the digital world or the physical one, you can't always just hit undo.
Right. Like deleting a file or making a financial trade.
Precisely. Those actions have consequences that can't easily be reversed. So this combination creates a uniquely complex and, yeah, potentially risky landscape we need to navigate carefully.
It really sounds like a potential minefield. Let's maybe dig into some of those specific risks. Value alignment sounds important, but what does that mean in practice? How can an agent be misaligned?
It means the agent might take actions that don't actually align with human values or organizational policies, even if it thinks it's achieving its programmed goal. It could happen through, say, using biased data sources for research, or maybe even employing deceptive tactics if it hasn't been properly constrained.
Okay. And fairness, is that related?
Very related. There's a clear risk of discriminatory actions if the agent learns from biased data, or if its actions inadvertently introduce new bias into data sets it modifies or creates.
And misplaced trust, you touched on this, that feels like a really big one for you as a user interacting with these things.
It is. Both sides of it are problematic. Over-reliance, where you just blindly trust the AI without critical thinking.
Yeah, I can see that happening easily.
And under-reliance, where you're too skeptical and don't leverage the tool effectively when you should, calibrating your trust correctly becomes a real challenge. I think we've all felt that with current tech sometimes.
Definitely. What about efficiency? Can they be dumb sometimes?
Well, computation inefficiency is a real concern. Agents might execute redundant actions, get stuck in loops, retry failed tasks endlessly.
Wasting time and energy.
Exactly. Leading to wasted computational resources, which also has an environmental impact, right? More processing means more energy.
True. And robustness. That sounds like security.
It is. AI agents can be vulnerable. Attacks on their external resources, the tools they use, the websites they access, could lead to manipulated goals or tricking them into downloading malware or maybe sharing confidential information.
And you mentioned function calling hallucination. That sounds bad.
It's a critical flaw. Imagine an agent is supposed to use a specific tool, like your calendar API, to book a meeting, but it hallucinates the function call. It might try to delete your calendar instead, or maybe just invents a function that doesn't exist, leading to errors or unpredictable, potentially damaging outcomes.
Yikes. Okay, that's a serious security vulnerability. And then there's the obvious one, privacy and intellectual property.
Huge risk. If an agent has unrestricted access to information documents, databases, emails, there's a significant risk it could inadvertently store, leak, or share sensitive personal data, intellectual property, or confidential business information with other users or tools it interacts with.
Yeah, data leakage is a nightmare scenario.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And finally, tying back to opaqueness, there's explainability and transparency. It can just be fundamentally difficult to trace the cause and effect of an agent's actions or to understand its decision-making process, especially in these complex multi-component systems we talked about.
And if the documentation isn't clear.
Exactly. A lack of transparent documentation on how it was designed, built, and evaluated only makes this problem worse.
So beyond these specific risks baked into the tech, organizations using these agents face day-to-day operational challenges too, right?
For sure. Just evaluation is hard. How do you effectively assess an agent's performance and accuracy when its behavior can be so complex and open-ended? Standard testing methods might not cut it.
And if something goes wrong?
That's the mitigation and maintenance challenge. Identifying where in the complex system an error is occurring and then figuring out how to fix it or what needs maintenance can be really tough.
And can you even reliably reproduce the problem?
That's the reproducibility hurdle. It can be difficult to reproduce an agent's exact behavior or output if the external tools it relies on or the data it accesses have changed or become unavailable since the last time it ran.
Which leads to accountability.
Accountability and compliance, yes. Assigning responsibility for an agent's actions gets really complex, especially if it's built using components from different vendors? Who's liable if it messes up? And this complexity also impacts compliance. How do you ensure the entire agentic system adheres to relevant regulations? It's a big challenge.
And zooming out even further beyond the technical and operational stuff, these agents bring broader societal implications we need to think about.
Definitely. There's the potential negative impact on human dignity and agency. If workers start to perceive agents as simply being better at core parts of their jobs, it could lead to reduced self-worth or morale issues.
Yeah, the psychological impact.
And of course, the very real risk of job displacement if automation of complex tasks becomes widespread. We can't ignore that.
And the environmental impact you mentioned earlier from inefficiency.
Right. Increased environmental footprint due to computational inefficiencies, wasted cycles, it all adds up.
Okay, so that's a lot of risks and challenges. How do we actually start to mitigate these? How do we ensure responsible AI development and deployment here?
It's crucial, and it requires a multifaceted approach. Observability is key. That means having systems in place to understand exactly what actions an agent took, with which inputs, using which tools. This helps determine attribution, who or what is responsible for the outputs.
So better logging and tracing.
Essentially, yes. We also need rigorous functional testing and guardrails. That means thoroughly testing each component of the agent system in isolation and implementing safeguards, guardrails against known vulnerabilities, like prompt injection attacks or preventing the disclosure of sensitive information.
Makes sense. Test, test, test.
And enhance efficiency. Configuring agents to detect and maybe prevent those infinite loops or redundant actions we talked about, make them smarter about resource use.
Okay. And the human element.
Perhaps most importantly, human in the loop. For many tasks, especially high-stakes ones, human oversight and review are absolutely essential to ensure the agent's actions are accurate, relevant, and aligned with our goals and values.
So keeping people involved in the decision process.
Yes. And there are clever techniques emerging here, too, like something called time-based de-anchoring.
Time-based de-anchoring. What's that?
It's a way to combat that misplaced trust, the over-reliance. The system might subtly nudge you, maybe after a certain amount of time or number of interactions, to periodically reevaluate the AI's recommendations. Just a little prompt to stop you from becoming passively accepting and ensure you stay actively engaged in the decision making.
Oh, that's clever. Like a built-in reality check.
Kinda, yeah. And you're seeing leading companies like IBM investing heavily here, developing solutions like watsonx.governance for managing the AI lifecycle, assessing risks, tracking performance, and things like watsonx Orchestrate aim to provide more transparency into how the agents are actually reasoning.
So tools are being built to manage the tools.
We need them. Governance is critical.
Okay. This all leads us inevitably to the future of work itself. It sounds like we're heading for a really fundamental shift, a changing skill landscape.
I think that's undeniable.
The research seems to show that most workers, the vast majority really, they don't envision pure replacement by AI agents. Is that right?
That's right. Instead, the preference seems to be for either role-based AI support, like an AI handling specific parts of their job, or more like a supportive assistant helping with their overall workflow. Much more collaborative.
So if it's more collaboration than replacement, what does that mean for our skills? What becomes more or less important for humans?
Well, it suggests a really interesting shift in core human competencies. Perhaps counterintuitively, some traditionally high-wage skills, things like analyzing data or information, or updating and using relevant knowledge.
Skills that AI is getting really good at.
Exactly. Those seem to be becoming less emphasized in tasks where high human agency is still desired or required.
Yeah.
It's not that they become unimportant, but the AI can handle a lot more of the heavy lifting there.
Okay, so what's gaining importance then if it's not pure analysis?
It looks like interpersonal and organizational skills are rising to the top. We're talking about things like communicating effectively with supervisors, peers, or subordinates.
Human interaction.
Yes. Also, guiding, directing, and motivating subordinates. Establishing and maintaining interpersonal relationships, training and teaching others. These uniquely human skills that AI agents augment rather than replace seem to be becoming even more valuable.
So the soft skills are becoming the hard skills in an AI-driven world.
That's a great way to put it. This trend really points towards needing a broader, more diverse range of skills from individuals as these agents become more integrated into how we work.
So it's not about being replaced, but about evolving our skill set.
Exactly. The most in-demand skills will likely be those that blend human judgment, creativity, critical thinking, and interaction with the efficiency and capabilities that AI brings. It's really about learning to work smarter with AI, not fearing replacement by it.
So we've taken quite a journey here, a real deep dive into AI agents from, you know, figuring out what they actually are, their core capabilities,
to seeing their pretty profound impact across industries already, and exploring this really complex, shifting landscape of the human workforce alongside them.
Yeah, and as these AI agents continue to evolve, and they will rapidly, the conversation really shifts, doesn't it? It's less about if they will reshape our work and much more about how we as individuals, as organizations, as society will actively shape this emerging partnership.
Absolutely. What really stands out, I think, is this picture of a future where those uniquely human skills, critical thinking, empathy, complex communication, ethical oversight, they don't just remain relevant, they become even more paramount.
Couldn't agree more. The technology handles the what, humans handle the why and how.
So the final thought for you listening is this: how will you prepare? Not just to adapt, but to actually thrive within this increasingly collaborative human AI ecosystem that's unfolding right now.